our life, this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And our life is depending on three things. The first thing that we need to consider and look at is, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of my life on this earth? When Allah Ta'ala created me, when Allah Ta'ala created His makhluq, the creation, then there's a purpose for the creation of the makhluq, of the creation. Because this is the most important thing, fundamental, critical. If a person doesn't know the purpose of what he or she is doing, why or he or she is here, then there will be no success in life. Nothing will be attained. The first foremost question to be asked and answered is, what is my purpose in life? Allah Ta'ala has given me a life, great life, a long life probably. And there must be a purpose for this. And the purpose of life Allah Ta'ala has defined in the Quran and the Hadith. And that is to attain the pleasure of Haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to please our Lord continuously. End of story. Just one purpose of life and no other purpose. One maqsad, eating, drinking, standing, walking, earning, transactions. This is not our purpose in life. These are the needs of life, yes. The means to live the life. But, for example, we have to eat, we have to drink, we have to live our lives. The desires that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we will fulfill those desires. But these are not the objective of life. What is our objective? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally, 100%. If I don't know what my purpose is, then how can I reach my destination? I can't, can I? So let's revise this, make this solid in our heads, in our brains, in our minds, that Allah's pleasure is my objective. And if I'm working hard on other objectives, then I'm wasting my time. My objective is to please Allah. That's the first thing. The first point we have to learn. And everything else is secondary, tertiary, wife, children, house, outside, inside, friends, going out, enjoyment, business, work. This is not the objective. The person who makes the dunya objective is unsuccessful, is a failure. Now, to attain our objective now, to get to the success so that we successfully achieve our objective, we have to work. So we have to work in this world to attain our objective. And now point number two, after having a purpose, you have to work to attain the purpose. So step number one, identify our purpose in life. Step number two, we have to work to get to the purpose. And three things, as I said, Allah Ta'ala said, to attain this purpose. Number one, to attain the pleasure of Allah, we have to do three things. Number one, to implement the orders of Allah. The orders Allah Ta'ala has given to us via His Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, via the Qur'an, and that has reached to us via ilm, via knowledge. Then some things don't reach to us, but all of the ilm that has reached to us, has arrived to us, all of those orders, the deen, we have to implement, Allah Zakam. This is our work. We have no other work. From morning till night, what work do we have? What job? Occupation? To implement the orders of Allah so that we can attain our objective, which is what? The pleasure of Allah. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In between, if you're hungry, eat. If you're sleepy, go to sleep. If you have to go to work, etc. But where should your focus and attention be? Allah's pleasure, purpose. Alhamdulillah, great way of life. Very easy, isn't it? Islam's easy. Yeah. So even if death comes in that journey, then you have died pursuing your objective. You could be standing at your shop behind the till, sleeping, walking, sitting down. But what are you doing? You are pursuing your objective totally in your mind. 100% solid like a rock. Okay, you're hungry. You have to eat. But remember, Allah is my maqsad, my purpose, my objective. So first thing, what do I have to do? So to attain our objective, which is Allah's pleasure, we have to do three things. Number one, implement Allah's ahkams. Allah's orders that have reached to us. Allah's ordering, praise Allah. If Allah saying fast. Allah saying go on Hajj. Give zakah. These are Allah's orders. We have to implement them fully. In the same way, Allah says don't do this. These are the Allah's orders. Do and don't do. Where Allah says do, we do. Where Allah says don't do, we don't do. Second step, there are three steps, as I said, to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, our purpose. So step number one is to implement Allah Ta'ala's ahkams. Practice Allah's orders. Number two, step two, the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to obey him, follow him, imitate him. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to follow him. imitate him. This is step number two, job number two, work number two. Because if we are implementing Allah's orders, step number one, then we have to do them according to step number two. According to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given to us as an example. Allah said, he is the example to you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever he says to you, do this, this, A, B, C, D, E, copy him, follow him. So step one, to implement Allah's orders. And what's the step number two? Principle number two, to imitate and follow and obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And principle number three is, alhamdulillah, is that our objective, our destination, are we successful or not successful? Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Don't think, oh, am I right, wrong, successful? No. Just continue on your work, which is principles one and two. And principle number three, don't think, oh, am I succeeded or am I losing, failing? No. Just carry on steadfast, pursuing objective. I'm not saying this from my own viewpoint in mind. These are the words of my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib. That's why I'm communicating this to you. This is the formula of my teacher, Hazrat. This was his formula that he explained to us. And I'm explaining that to you, discussing with them same words that I heard 40 years ago. What did I know at that time, 40 years ago, that I would sit with pious people like you and discuss those same words that my husband communicated to me? Did I know this 40 years ago? When I was sitting down, it was darkness, Hazrat's Khanqah, Hazrat was speaking, and after Hazrat, first Hazrat Sahib would do dhikr, the dhikr majlis would be first, then Hazrat would speak after. So, how important this is, we need to see that Allah Ta'ala has explained that if we tie a knot on these formulas, we can never go astray, can we? Never. So, again, to repeat, what do we need to do? We know now our purpose of life, and we know the three principles of how to get to the purpose of life. So one thing, definitely pay attention and bear in mind, that when a person starts to do some work, tries to get to his objective and destination, then there are the two enemies who are in the way, nafs and shaitan, and they want to always create obstacles. Don't think this is easy just to get there. Shaitan will come, nafs will come, the devil will come, and your base desires will come, and they will divert you, distract you, put hurdles, obstacles. Allah Ta'ala has given us a job, and whenever you implement Allah Ta'ala's formula, then shaitan and nafs will come. Except for the prophets alayhi salam, nobody else could be saved from nafs and shaitan. No companion was saved, no awliya Allah, no wali Allah, no kutub, nobody. Everyone had to work hard against these two evil forces. What will shaitan do? Shaitan will insert waswasa, whispering into our ears and minds. Nothing else, he just does waswasa, whispering. When you think bad, negative, wrong things, things that are diverting you from your purpose of life, which is Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and Allah's orders, then straight away understand, ah, this is shaitan. And don't let shaitan's words permeate into your heart. Don't practice his waswasa, his whispering and advice. Think, oh, no, 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 I can't do this. This is wrong. This is shaitan. He's whispering to me. He's trying to get me away from the right path. And shaitan, nowadays, in this day and age, especially in this generation, his special waswasa, his very special whispering technique that he's succeeding in. Now, this waswasa of his, of shaitan, is very successful. And he's 100% successful on this methodology and technique of his. What's his waswasa? He says to us, he whispers to us, no, 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 this is too hard. How can you practice Islam like this? These were the pious people before us. We're just weak people. Oh, no, no, if I pray Salah, that's enough. Oh, I can't be saved from sin. Look all around us, everyone's doing this. If I don't do this, what are people going to say to me? They're going to laugh at me. Shaitan is very successful in this attack nowadays. And very great people, pious people, were trapped in this game of shaitan, and he dragged them down from the heights. Dragged them down. Big, big game of shaitan. What does he say to us? No, 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 it's too hard. It was the Sahaba who did this. We can't do this today in this day and age. Too hard. I won't get a job. How will I feed the kids? You know, we put these obstacles in front of us. Allah says, I am the person, I am responsible for your children. I bring the rizq to you and your children. Why are you worried about this? But shaitan says, no, 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 you got to work. You got to bring your kids up, bring them up, feed them, clothe them, success and, you know, prosperity. And I got to save the money myself in the bank. And how much do we give to the children from our bank? Nonsense. We even eat their own money. We consume their funds. What do we give to the children? So he's taking us away from our purpose. This is his waswasa today, whisper. He's gone deep into our hearts and minds. And he says to us, no, 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 no. The pious people for us, they were the best. I can't practice like that. Allah will forgive me. I try my best. This is enough that I live in the world and I'm praying. What dunya? What's hard in this dunya? Nothing. So easy. Allah's told us straightforward. Easy. This is your purpose, to please Allah, and these three principles to follow, and that's it. That's it. This dunya will continue till the day of judgment. Challenges will come, trials will come, tests will come, people come. That's not an excuse to leave the deen, is it? So if a person, a human being, desires to be saved from shaitan and nafs, then listen to the formula here of how to oppose the shaitan and the nafs. And how do we oppose the nafs and shaitan? Very simple formula. That why are you speaking nonsense to me, shaitan? Why are you talking rubbish to me? Allah's given me a purpose. Allah's told me the three principles of how to attain the purpose, which is His pleasure. So Allah's given me strength to oppose you, shaitan. For example, if you work in a factory, you've come for an interview, I'm the manager, and I say, okay, do you want a job? Okay. You say, let me see. And I say, here's the job for you. Do this job. And I see you, I test you, I assess you, I see you're suitable, and I tell you, do this talk. You stand and say, I can't do this. It's too hard for me. Then the boss will say, he's a totally useless. He hasn't got an intention to it. Allah Ta'ala created us, gave us capacity, capability, ability, strength, power, knowledge, awareness. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the tools to fight off shaitan and nafs. It's not the case that Allah Ta'ala has not given us strength. Allah Ta'ala has given us the tools. But we want to fall into the trap of shaitan and just totally we become useless. But the person who's honest and sincere, listen carefully what I'm saying. This is the message of Allah. Whoever wants to be saved, there's a very great tarqib and method that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. What is that? The tarqib is, Allah's method is to try. We have to try. This is what we need to do. Allah Ta'ala has given us this formula, beautiful formula. We see shaitan is preventing us doing good, then we have to try to overcome him. Allah has given an order, we have to try to implement that order. If we want to save ourselves from sins, we have to try. And how much? Oh, we try. Oh, I stop my children. I tell them to do good things. I try my best. What can I do though? You know, they don't listen. Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran, Allah has revealed to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Subhanallah. This is a great verse. Fantastic verse. Brilliant verse. Totally nonsense that person is speaking. Allah says, he's not even trying at all. And we should try so much to save ourselves and our families. So much to save myself, ourselves and our families. Our relatives and close associates. How? Allah Ta'ala is speaking to, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, you believe shaitan will try to defraud you. Oh, it's hard for me. I can't do it. I try to tell my friends and my family. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nar. Subhanallah, what a great verse, great description, great advice. Allah says, look, you're trying, you're saying you're trying. Okay, Allah says, I'll tell you an example now. If there's a fire now, your house is on fire, may Allah not allow this, may this not happen that somebody's house is set on fire. May Allah protect us all from this, from everybody. So what do we do? How will you save your children? Allah says, how would you save your children if the house is on fire? You will try your utmost that your children don't get into the fire, and you will save yourself as well from the fire. Will you try? Of course you will. To save yourself from the fire, you'll try so much, so much, so much. The amount you can try, you will force yourself. What example Allah has given here? That anyone in this world, you will try so hard, won't you? If there's a fire, your shed, your house, your room, and your child is burning, rather you will burn yourself, but you will save your child from burning from the fire in this world. Won't you? Won't we? Won't I? So Allah Ta'ala says, oh, you who believe, oh, you've attained faith, try yourself the best to ward yourself from yourselves and those who are close to you from that fire of the hereafter whose fuel is human beings and stones. Imagine the heat. But we don't try at all. We have to try much, so much, so much. We have to try it. Just like we save ourselves and other people in this world from the fire in this world, because it's so hot. We need to try many times over and above that to save ourselves and those who are close to us from the fire of the hereafter, which is the real fire. Myself I have to save, and my close friends, family, associates, those who are close to me, my families. Now let's ask ourselves with honesty, do I try my best to save myself and my family from the fire of hell? No, I try, but my daughter, my son, they don't listen to me. They're not in my control. The same daughter and son are burning in the fire thereafter, and there's fire in my house here in the world. Do we just try a little bit? That we'll just say to them, oh, look, there's a fire. Oh, try to not go to the fire. Rather, we will burn ourselves, but we will save our friends, family from the fire in this world. So what we realize is that we don't have belief and certainty and conviction in the fire of thereafter. If Allah is saying fire of hell, imagine how severe this fire will be. That if I see my family that they are disobeying Allah, they're leaving prayer, they're not praying salah, and they're going towards haram, unlawful actions, and non-shara actions. Allah says, don't do this. And we're seeing our children going to non-Islamic places, speaking non-Islamic. We breathe a deep sigh and we sit down. Allah says, no, no, work hard. And the result? The result will be that Daib will also be grabbed, our family members and me as well. Doesn't matter how pious I may be. Because Allah said, I gave you a duty. Qu anfusakum. Allah says, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nar. Allah says, I told you what to do. I gave you the duty to save yourself and your family from hell. You have to migrate, leave your homes, go to another place where it's easier. But Allah's hukum is that you have to live your life to attain your purpose. And one square inch, you cannot go left or right from that objective. The person who comes off the path, doesn't matter how much shaitan is deceiving you, distracting you, Allah Ta'ala says you will go towards the, you will never be go towards tuflihun, you will never get success. You can do hajj, umrah, time and time again, but if Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a duty and responsibility, and I'm seeing my family members, rather with my own hands, with my eyes, with my hands, my body, I'm supporting my family members doing wrong, I breathe a deep sigh. Oh, it's bad, isn't it? I pray salat, tahajjud, tasbih, but in front of me my family is sinning, and I drop my children off with myself in the car. I support them financially, physically to do wrong. This is not trying. Allah Ta'ala has told us the extreme limit that we have to implement and try our hardest to ward ourselves and our families from the fire of hell, sins. Just like if we see fire in this world, our clothes, our bodies, our houses, if they are set on fire, we run from the fire. We save others. Allah says you have to do the same for the hereafter. Allah says you can't imagine. The fire in this world is nothing. The wounds in this world will eventually heal. But the hereafter, the wounds will never heal. And Allah says, you will also burn. Allah said, I gave you a duty. You didn't attain that purpose in your world, in the life. And what did you do? And the people, I gave you the duty that you are responsible for them, your family members, and you forgot them. You didn't care about them. You had no regard for them. And here there's a hadith. Let's hear the hadith that will support this verse of the Quran. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, and great famous hadith. And many Sufi Ikram, Walis of Allah, present this hadith. And I think Hazrat Sheikh Huladis Rahimahullah Ta'ala narrated this hadith, for quoted this hadith first in Fadail Dhikr. I'm sure of this. And we all read this book, and this is an important hadith. And as a person understands, and what I read and understood, I will communicate and share with you, that what a link we get with this verse of the Quran with regards to the purpose of life. What is this? Long hadith, and I will present a small portion of the hadith to you. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that, look, rather how much have you tried? Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you a duty to try to save yourself from the fire of hellfire. You have to try so much, so much. How much? And Allah Ta'ala says, if you are trying, there's no guarantee that you will succeed in your attempts. What are you? Allah Ta'ala says, you are a human being, aren't you? You're a human being. And maybe you should try so hard, that if Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala says that if I'm not with you and I don't help you, you cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself, nor can you save others. You cannot assist. We all know this, don't we? It's Allah's help and supreme help. If I say, I've achieved this, I've tried my best, I tried so much to save myself and to get the purpose of life, but I haven't tried in reality. So the first concept we should have in my mind, that whatever we do, who is allowing us to do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable us. Allah will enable us. Allah Ta'ala says that my basis of success here is that I've told you such a high position, that even if you try a little bit here, that the way I advise you, that one balish, one hair's width, Allah Ta'ala says, one hair's width, one little spot, one little dot, 1 millimeter, Allah says, try. But we are liars, we commit fraud. Allah says, you haven't even tried. Allah Ta'ala says, even if you try one hair's width, that look, my daughter, I want to save them. My son, I want to save him. My daughter, save her from the sin and hell and the fire of the hereafter. Allah says, you haven't even tried. Allah says, even if you try one hair's width, then what do I do? Allah Ta'ala says, I come towards you with my help, one handspan. Imagine Allah's repayment. Allah's repayment. So Allah says, if you try to come towards me one hair's width, I will come towards you one handspan. Allah said, if you tried one hair's width, then I will come to you, my help will come to you one handspan. So how much Allah Ta'ala's attention turns towards, oh, come on, let's pray. Why don't you pray? Oh, I told you how many times, pray Salah. We just shout to the children. Is this trying? Oh, just remember Allah, what are you doing? You're doing wrong. Oh, that's it. Just leave this. That's what we do. We give up after that. Is that it? Is that trying? Allah says, I'm telling you. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm telling you, you should try one hair's width. This is, Allah is such a power. Allah is all powerful, all supreme. Allah says, you try a small amount and I will help you. Allah says, you try one hair's width and I will help you one hand span length. And Allah says, if you try one hand span's length to save yourself from bad and others, then I will come to you two hand spans. And Allah Ta'ala says, if you go beyond that and try better, that you start to walk towards me, Allah says, then Allah says, my mercy will run to you and it will grab you and assist you. So here from this hadith, we realize that how can a man not succeed in saving himself and his close family and friends from hellfire? The question doesn't arise that his family burns, his family goes to hellfire, his home is destroyed. The question doesn't arise that if a person one hair's width tries to save himself from haram, Allah says, I will give you assistance of one hand span, one hand's length. And the person who tries one hand span length to save himself from haram, Allah Ta'ala said that you didn't even try. You didn't even try, you didn't even see my rahmah, my mercy, you didn't recognize it, you speak rubbish, nonsense, that you are scared of trying, that this path may shut, that I won't be able to do ibadah anymore. Allah Ta'ala is explaining that you are afraid of trying, afraid. So what will be your consequence? Allah says it will be a very bad consequence, my friends. And this is the reality, the truth. I tell you the truth. Great walis of Allah, the events. Great awliya Allah. Because no one apart from the prophets is innocent. We are all insan, human beings. The tests came to the walis of Allah. Many tests and trials came to the awliya Allah. They were so close to the sin. And they kept one hair's width distance less from that sin. We are human beings. Someone falls in love with somebody, with a woman, with a girl. Or he goes towards sin or lust or passion or desire. Because tests in our life continue until the grave. There could be a wali Allah, kutub abdal. This doesn't mean that that person, all his internal desires have been removed. No, we are all human beings. Even a wali of Allah has passion and desire. The lust, the passion, attraction towards women, or sin, listening to music. Everything is within. And this is the cause for progression. We think, oh, he's a wali Allah, he's some angel. He can never commit a sin. He will never have attraction for a woman. How can this be? We'll say, oh, inside he's got no lust, no desires. No, that's why I stated, غير mahram woman is not permissible for a man. If there's a woman, she's in front of you, attraction is there, shaitan will come in between and he will create the means for us to do bad and commit evil, the man and the woman. So Allah Ta'ala gives examples of the Nabi, of the Prophet of Allah, that this is how much we've got to try, that how Allah's rahmah comes. Surah Yusuf, the whole surah, great surah of the Quran, great chapter of the Quran, teaches us about the life of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and teaches us how to ward off evil. There was a woman at the time of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, she fell in love with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, she was attracted to him. She said, this is my purpose, this man. She was rich, wealthy. She wanted Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. She had status, she had kingdom, she had leadership, she had a palace, she had such a bedrooms that she decorated and prepared. She prepared it fully and she made locks on her room, on the doors. She put doors, various multiple doors up to her bedroom. And then she invited Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. He was the prophet of his time. He was very beautiful, handsome, and she was attracted to him. She was in love with him, but he was innocent until that time because he didn't have shahwat or lust or desires. Look here, how Allah gave the test. Look today, a person says, I'm a sheikh and I'm not attracted by women. I don't know if this woman's come to me to get taweez or water or do dam, or she come to speak to me. Sheikh Saab, he doesn't know. And I'm 78 years old. I won't have lust or desire. I've seen people 80 years old fall in love with a woman. Attracted. Can anybody guarantee the control of his heart or her heart? So what do we need? We have to protect ourselves from the ghayr mahram. So anyway, this woman, she was attracted to Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam. He was a man. And the invitation was coming from the woman. And he's insan. He could be attracted. And he's the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah. And this woman, Ashik, lover, she closed all the doors, locked them all. 1, 2, 3, 4. She had controlled, decorated bedroom. Dawat, invitation, come. Come, Yusuf. And he looked all around, four sides. Huh? What's going on? Allah, what's happened here? Where have I come to? And he said, what's going on here? Should I breach the trust? You are the wife of my Malik. And this cannot be, I'm the Nabi. And she said, no, we will do what we have to do today. I have attraction to you, I want you. Then he became upset at that time. The Mufassireen have written, the commentators of the Quran have written, that there at that moment, that those attractions and the desires, they started to increase. Then he suddenly called out to Allah, this is a lesson here, that the Nabi is masoom, he is innocent. But obviously the desires are there, and desires can increase and multiply for any person. So what did Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam do? He saw the danger, he said, the danger. And then comes this same verse of the Quran, and Allah says, this hadith comes, that Allah Ta'ala we look in history, Allah Ta'ala saved the walis of Allah from the edge, from the banks of danger. So here has a Yusuf Alayhi called out to Allah. He called out to Allah for help. Here is the proof of come towards me one hairs width and I will come to you one hands man. The Mufassirin, the commentators have written here that he thought, okay, I'll run to this door. I know it's locked, but I've got to try. I've got to try. You will run after me. I will be caught. So I've got to run. So why does a person think? Look, if you stand and think, the room is locked, it's sealed, the doors are padlocked. How can I be saved? What did he do? He was Nabi, the Prophet of Allah. He had tawakkal Allah, trust in Allah. Allah said, I will help. That at least try and run away from bad things. So what lesson we get there? If we're going towards haram, our children going towards haram, then what should we do? We have to at least try. Even, for example, we are surrounded by a bad environment. Darkness is an impossible to be saved, maybe. We think we cannot be saved. But at least run. At least run. At least make an effort. This event, this story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, every single step of this story gives us a lesson. This isn't some jack and ori tale that Allah Ta'ala was given a love story. This is the solution for this environment we're living in today. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam thought, though Allah, I can try, at least I run from her. And if I don't succeed, then at least I'm insan. What can I do? I have to try and run from her. I have to try my best. And this is your promise, that if you run one hair's width, I will come one handsman. Let me try this. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam ran, and she was running after him. First door opened, the lock unopened, then the second door unlocked, third door unlocked. Why? Allah Ta'ala kept on assisting. Allah Ta'ala said, I extended my arm of assistance to you, O Yusuf alayhi salam. We think, oh, haram is hard to live in. I can't live my life without interest. I've got to run my business based on interest and riba and sood. I've got to take the loan from the bank with interest. Oh, these were the old days. We couldn't do that now. We've got to have finance to run our businesses. Allah Ta'ala says, I will help you. You prevent yourself from haram and don't worry about poverty and hunger. You have to challenge yourself that no way will poverty come. This is what will you lose? A big car, a big house maybe, but at least you'll say, I cannot eat haram. This is determination, courage. You've had a bit of courage. You've extended yourself one hair's width to Allah. I've seen great people rich that they left their wealth and they left the haram, and in the morning Allah Ta'ala opened the doors of mercy for them. Subhanallah. So the insan will never attain his purpose, my friends. Remember this. That person, what is our objective? Listen again. The pleasure of Allah. Pleasure of Haq. We pray Salah. After praying, we swear and ridicule people and mock people and we argue people, and we've just prayed Salah. We've not attained our objective. Allah says, your purpose is to implement my orders by imitating and following the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam totally. Completely. When you have these two things, then you will attain Allah's pleasure, your purpose of life. What is the test here? Is that we have to overcome and fight nafs and shaitan. And our biggest weapon to fight nafs and shaitan, if we've understood today, what is that? I ask you again, say it loudly. Have you understood? You haven't understood? What is it? What is it? Yes, we have to try. We have to struggle. We have to make effort. And we leave the rest in whose hands? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the game of life. Game of life. The question doesn't arise that a person will fail. But where do we fail? Oh, what can I do? It's too hard today. We're living in the modern world. Oh, it's difficult. Oh, my son, daughter, don't do this. Do you want to go to hell? And then we give up after that statement and we leave them to do the wrong. Is this trying? This is not even a stop. This is not even, forget a hair's width. It's nothing. It's not even an atom's width that we are trying. Our salah, tahajjud, dhikr. We're doing this and we're throwing them into the ditch of Jahannam. And we're throwing them into the ditch of Jahannam with ourselves and our family. We say, oh, what are you doing, son? No, don't do this. And after, quiet. Quiet. Sealed our mouths. Zipped our mouths. No, we have to try our best physically, verbally, assistance, advice, nasiha. Alhamdulillah. And in this environment, I've seen in this same environment, people who wanted to be saved, they crushed their desires. They saved themselves and their generations, their progeny, their offspring. Alhamdulillah. And they didn't allow a scratch to come onto their progeny that a bad thing comes to the offspring. We say, no, this is dunya. Oh, in this country, in my country, it's easier. Here's to our. No way. It's easy everywhere in the world. Wherever a masjid is constructed, the Quran will come. Where the Quran will come, the imam will come. Where the imam comes, iman will also come. Doesn't matter which corner of the world you are living in. Allah says it's impossible that you can't practice the deen. But when you become a person yourself who's a cheat, then you will give up. So we We don't even try to make intention. At least make intention, Allah, that I want to attain my purpose. We have sat down, crossed our legs and arms and said, oh, shaitan, he's too hard. I can't fight him. Allah, ghufruhim, Allah will forgive me. No. Allah says, Qoo anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Allah's ordered that save yourselves, ward off from yourselves and those who are close to you, your families, from what? That fire of the hereafter, whose fuel is human beings and stones. Just like when there's a fire in the world and you're in danger and you save yourself and your children and family from that fire, Allah says, then you take the step. My rahmah is already with you, but it will give you more assistance and I will save you step by step through this life. So my brothers, this is a beautiful point. Alhamdulillah, we are losing today because shaitan is overwhelming us and our nafs and our desires, and shaitan, we've allowed them to win over us. It's not hard, it's easy. We think this deen I've got is enough and I'm happy and I'm successful. No, deen is total, total, complete deen Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah has ordered in the Quran, if you want to come into the deen, come kafatun, totally. Totally, not by parts, small 5%, eat haram, pray salah, pray tahajjud, go towards sins, do umrah and hajj and implement haram actions. This is not deen. Deen is total way of life, A to Z that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Razai haq, pleasure of Allah, please Allah, and what we have to do to please Allah, implement Allah's orders and follow the Prophet Muhammad. And we have to make effort. We have to fight our desires, crush our desires, lower our desires, and Allah Ta'ala's help will come. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah won't leave us. Allah won't leave us. Not that Allah has left us, oh, go in and fight shaitan and nafs in the playing field. No, Allah says, if you ask for my help, I'll give you my help. If you ask and request for my help, then see how my help will reach to you, Allah Ta'ala says. See, ask for my help, I'll give it to you. But if you don't ask for help, then shaitan will overwhelm you, nafs will overwhelm you. And after a few days, your eyes will close. And then you will be given ghusl, you will pass away. Kafur, the kafan will be put on your body. And then they'll pray salatul janazah for you. Then you'll be thrown into the ditch of the grave. Then you'll understand that was your grave Jahannam, or is it Jannah? Paradise. Why should we wait until then? Only one thing goes into our grave with us, and what is that? Our amal, our deeds that we implemented in the world. How much did we try, attempt, and try to save ourselves? How much did I save my wife and my children from the hellfire? Everything will come into the grave. There'll be no excuses. No, 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 what could I do? It was difficult for me. How could I feed my children and for them? I had to go towards haram. Where would we have gone if we couldn't have haram? And all this drama will end before we even die, before we are lowered into the grave. When we are lowered into the grave, the reality will be unveiled, unraveled. The Prophet ﷺ said that such adab, punishment, is given to the dead people. If only we were able to hear their screaming and shrieks, then nobody would be alive. Allah Ta'ala says that we can't hear in the world while we are alive the shrieking and screaming of the inhabitants of the grave. Those who die there due to haram and lying and fraud and unlawful actions, leaving salah and committing fraud and cheating and hasad and envy. Is there one difficulty? These are all tests. All of these are tests and nothing is difficult. Why isn't it difficult? Allah says deen is easy. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says my help is with you. My help is with you. Seek my help. Allah says, today, if I say, oh, I don't want to lie. Every sin, let's take from today, I'm not going to lie. From tomorrow, I'm going to get up on time and I'm not going to lie all day long. Make this near. Intention today, I make intention that I'm not going to lie. Oh, I may have lied many times before today, but take one sin at a time. Make one promise. Make a list, 27, 28 sins, alhamdulillah. That Allah, from today, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to lie. Then all day long control the lying. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Until evening, you will, when you sleep, you'll be free from lying that day. Second day, Allah, I promise today, and then Allah's help will come, isn't it? And the nur, the light will come into your life and power and strength. You'll say, second day, Allah, you'll have courage, determination. Allah, today, I'm not going to backbite. That's it. Then the rest of the day, inshallah, I'm going to try. All day long, you're going to control your tongue, your thoughts. No, please stay quiet. Seal your mouth. No, and you'll stop. And Allah's help will be with you until the evening when you will assess and analyze. You'll be free from backbiting. Second thing, 7 days, 7 sins you will eliminate from one Jummah to the next Jummah. 7 sins, then 14 by the second week. They've disappeared. The sins have disappeared because you tried. Allah's help came. Assistance came. And on top of that, listen again, that the more you try, the more you try and you eliminate the sins, not just Allah's help will come, but on top of that, Allah's rahmah will come. Allah's mercy will come. The whole packet, Allah's help, assistance, and rahmah, and blessings will come. So should we make intention from tomorrow, brothers? And you make a solid promise? Yeah, at least let's try. Let's go one hair's width to Allah, isn't it? So let's make any all of us tomorrow, inshallah, that the first sin that today that we're implementing a lot, which is lying, isn't it? We lie so much. So, Next week we will speak about who tried and who didn't try. But don't forget, let's make a promise. And what will Shaitan do? He'll make us forget or leave or become lacking of hope. If I make niyyah today, then tomorrow he will make me fight my wife. So I have to control myself that tomorrow I'm not going to fight and quarrel. And then when you start to become angry and you see that the Shaitan is taking you off track from Allah's pleasure, then remember this point. Control your thoughts. Don't allow your anger and bad and negative thoughts to come out of your mind and heart. If you make niyyah today, that today I'm not going to argue. I'm going to have good manners and behavior and go home. There's going to be no fighting, quarreling, arguments. You go home and suddenly Shaitan will start to attack you from the other angle. And not you. You know that I am not going to expose my negative feelings. Suddenly Allah's help will come and He'll cool your anger. Challenges and trials come on every footstep. Remember this. Every footstep. When you make a niyyah, an intention, opposition will come straight away. Opposition will come. The planning of Shaitan will come. Ah, see how I make you lie today, Shaitan will say. Desire. Say, no. Doesn't matter what happens. This is from within. Shaitan is making me sin. This is a game, a test for a few minutes. Clash with Shaitan. If I control myself, then Allah's help will definitely come. Definitely come. Aha. So make a total promise. Every day make intention in the morning. I'm going to emulate a new sin. And in the same way, control, preserve your salah, that I prayed salah today. I have to be honest. Have I prayed salah correctly? That did I left salah in jama congregation? Why didn't I pray in congregation in masjid? Shaitan made me leave it. My nafs made me leave it. I wasn't ill. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me health. And I wasn't forced to leave it. And I was sleeping nicely in the night. And I didn't make the intention in the night to pray salah in the masjid. Why? Well, Shaitan said, you can't wake up in the morning. It's too hard for you, Shaitan said. What is Shaitan saying? You can't wake up. How are you going to wake up? Just go to sleep and take it easy. You can't pray Salah in the morning. So the people who don't pray Salah, the Shaitan advised them in the beginning, you can't pray. And he says, no, I can't pray. Oh, are you mad? Why are you setting the alarm? Just sleep easily. You can't get up in the morning. It's too hard getting up nowadays for Fajr. It's too early because it's too difficult. Got to go to work. I'm lazy. I need nice, cozy sleep in my quilt, in my bed, my mattress. So I'm a little bit lazy. I try, isn't it? That's all I can do, isn't it? I can't go to the masjid to pray. What do we have to do? No. Shaitan, this is your game. This is your waswasa. The question doesn't arise. Allah Ta'ala is ordering me to pray salah in the masjid in congregation in the morning. Allah has given me help. My hands, my arms are moving. I'm fine. 4 hours, 3 hours sleep is first class. Excellent. And I can get up. And on top of that, I have got no pain, no difficulty. I've got no pain in my stomach. There's nothing. No problem. So what's this? And Shaitan, I have to clash with him. Then what happens? Allah Ta'ala's help will come. I plan a little bit in my mind. Where I plan a little bit, Allah Ta'ala says that when you ask for my help and assistance and you plan for my help, I'll give it to you. So in the night, we make intention. Fajr Salah in congregation. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, the person whose Fajr is spoiled, remember this. The person whose Fajr is spoiled, his whole day is wasted. Wasted his rizq, his wealth, his iman, everything else. He can run to the masjid the rest of the day for the salah. No, first step he has failed. He's fallen down. The first call of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is calling, inviting, come to me in the masjid in the morning, and we fail at Fajr time. Then what's the rest of the day? Nothing's left. We have to try our best that the first call of Allah, the first announcement, we shouldn't waste. Even if our eyes are closed, we're feeling sleepy, those just go and stand in the masjid in Qiyam, in the row. Say, Allah, I've got to pray Salatul Fajr in congregation in the masjid. May not be that tomorrow Allah gives an illness, then I have an excuse and I can't go to the masjid. It's better today in the form of health, in the state of Allah's giving me hands and eyes and nose and ears and a car and good health and a body, physical strength. Get up, set the alarm for Fajr Salah and make an iyyah and then go to sleep. Totally don't fall asleep. Oh, I can never get up. Oh, it's too hard for me. Oh, what's the benefit of this? Oh, it's too hard for me. Bus. No, I can't. No, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm healthy. Allah's ordering. I've got to get up in the morning. And give a reason to Shaitan. Why are you advising me not to get up for Fajr? Why? Tell me why. I've got to get up after another 45 minutes, an hour. So why can't I get to go to work? So why can't I get up earlier? So start the day like this. Is Shaitan. Make niyam. Make intention from the morning. I'm going to pray Fajr in Salah. Then the rest of the day, the Salah, automatically they will come into your book of deeds. Of course they will come with the Fadl Wallah, with Allah's Rahmah. So two things we have to do. Start from Salatul Fajr in the morning, in the masjid, the house of Allah, in Jama, in congregation. Number two, one sin. Choose a sin in the night. So when you sleep in the night, make firm niyyah. I'm going to get up in the morning, go to the masjid to pray Salah Fajr. And number two, tomorrow morning, I'm not going to lie. I select the sin of lying. I may die during the day, but I won't lie. I'm going to be a good human being. And this means that we are then asking Allah for help. We have gone to Allah one hair's width. Allah Ta'ala will give His fadl and karam. Then we can say Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is forgiving, merciful. If we then commit a mistake after that, Allah says, go, I've forgiven you. Allah says, I've forgiven you khair because you tried your best. At least you tried. And if you stumble after that and you fall down, don't worry, you will go to Jannah Paradise. May Allah give me and all of us the tawfiq. Ameen.